for us. Lord, please prepare our hearts for the message this morning. And please just speak to us whatever you would want us to hear. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. You be seated. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 1, verse 27. James chapter 1, verse 27. And we're going to reference all throughout the message James 1:27. Now, God put adoption on Molly and my heart shortly after we started dating back in 2013, 2014. But it wasn't till this year that God broke and burdened my heart for the orphan. And God did this by me watching videos of families bringing home their adopted child, seeing the joy, seeing the difficulty, seeing all throughout it that it was worth it. And then I saw the stats out there, and they're so heartbreaking to know that so many millions in the world have no one to call mom and dad. And then on top of that, you see what God's word says about the orphan, loving and caring for the orphan. And I thought to myself, Lord, how much am I doing to honor you, to care about the things that you're all about, and to love the orphan like you love the orphan? This year, through prayer, God made it abundantly clear to Molly and I where we're going to adopt. And that was from India. As soon as we said, okay, God, it's all in your control, He made it so clear from the very get-go. We started having dreams. We started hearing from the Lord in special ways. We started having conversations with people. And it was as if when we took a step of obedience, God therefore laid the next path for us to take, the next stone for us to step on into what adoption was to look like for us as we cared for the orphan. So this morning we're going to be discussing how to care for the orphan. And I pray that the Lord moves in your heart today, whoever you are, wherever you're at in life, to care for what God cares about. And He cares for the orphan. And as we go through the scripture this morning, what I want you to get a hold of, what I want you to see as I preach the sermon, is that it's God's heart to care for the orphan. And if we love God, that ought to orient our focus towards the things we ought to love. Not because it's the right thing to do, which it is, but first we need to get an appetite, a desire for what God desires. And He orients our focus into all things. So if we love Him, we ought to love what He loves, and He loves caring for the orphan. So go with me. James 1:27 says this. It says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning for your word. God, I pray that it would illuminate everything we hear. That God, while the examples and the illustrations and even the statistics are good things, God, it is your word that needs to stand above everything. So God, help us to focus on your heart through the text of Scripture. Help us to see who you have compassion on and who you desire to have compassion on. And Lord, I pray that in this room, you would give us a desire to care for the orphan in some way today. Give us the desire to do that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So James 1:27, Jesus starts by describing, or rather, Jesus influencing the writer James, who is his brother, tells us that we ought to care for the orphan and the widow. And he calls this pure and undefiled religion. This is pure and undefiled in the sense that when we give to those who are poor, those who are hurting, we are not doing this to receive anything. We're doing this simply to honor God. We're not doing this for money. We're not doing this for notoriety. We're doing this because God loves this. This is why it's pure and undefiled. And then there's this interesting thing that James says at the end of 1:27. He says this. He says to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, why does he say this? It just seems kind of like a tack on, like, okay, great, that's good, but I don't know how this connects with what you just said. You're talking about the orphan and the widow, but what do you mean unstained? Well, what he's talking about here is this idea that all of us have focused not on the orphan, but rather the people who are rich and famous, the people who are well known, those that have success in the eyes of the world. We tend to focus on them and disregard the orphan. And this kind of thinking has tainted our conduct. That's why he's saying pure and undefiled religion is to love the poor, the orphan, and the widow, those you can't receive much back from. Meanwhile, over here in the thinking of the world, we can taint our mind to say, yeah, I want to care more about these people. I want to spend more time with people who can give me something back. That's not the heart of God. That's not his desire for us. And this kind of thinking clouds our conduct and our way of living. So God calls us to do what? To go to them, to go to the orphan and the widow, to go to those who are suffering. And when it comes to this, there's a several different ways throughout Scripture that we can apply how to care for the orphan today. The first one is found in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. So if you go to the middle of your Bible, Isaiah 1, 17 is one text I want to highlight in addition to James 1, 27. And as you go there, what I want you to see is that it's God's heart to defend the orphan. It's God's heart to defend the orphan. Isaiah 1, 17 says, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, and plead the widow's cause. Now, what was happening here in Israel is that they were doing the exact opposite of this. What they were doing is they were doing evil. They were learning to do evil. They were seeking injustice. They were promoting oppression. They brought injustice to the fatherless, in other words, the orphan. And they also did not plead the widow's cause. They instead acted out of a selfish heart. And when we live with a selfish heart in mind, we don't think about the least of these. We're not concerned with that. We're concerned with our own way of living, our schedule, our plans, not theirs, not the heart of God here. This comes from a selfish heart. But Scripture tells us in Ezekiel 36 that God desires to change this heart of stone and to give us a heart of what? Flesh. And to put his spirit within us. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27 says, I, God, will sprinkle you clean with water, and you shall be clean from your uncleanness, from all of your idols I will cleanse you from. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you, the Holy Spirit, and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Notice the order here. Getting a new heart leads to new life. You don't try to lead a new life before you get a new heart. So listen, if you're here today and you've done the church thing and you've heard all the right things to do, but you've not given yourself to Jesus, you're going to keep trying to do what's right and struggle to maintain it. But when you receive his heart, you get a new spirit and he helps you to walk in his ways. And when you maintain that, he grows your appetite. He grows your desires for the things of God. You need Christ and his salvation first. Otherwise, you're going to keep living for your idols. In fact, that's what this verse says. In verse 25, this section of Scripture in Ezekiel 36 says, he will cleanse you from your idols. You've made an idol. And think about that. You're going to worship someone or something else if you don't worship God. And you need to be cleansed of that. Christ wants you to defend the orphan. But first, you must have a heart after his in order to love them and have a heart for them. To practice pure and undefiled religion only comes from knowing the one who is pure and undefiled, and that's Jesus. Some of you may know George Mueller if you've ever studied or read church history, or just you've maybe heard an example in a sermon. George Mueller was known as a missionary to England. And while he was in England, he didn't just preach the gospel, but he was so moved that he opened up an orphanage to care for for those that did not have a mom or a dad. And over the course of his life, he was able to be a father to the fatherless, to over 10,000 orphans. And to ensure that they heard about Jesus and that they were cared for, he didn't just open up an orphanage, he also lived in that orphanage with them, loving them, caring for them. And word got out, so much so that one of the greatest preachers who's ever lived, Charles Spurgeon, heard about him and went to go hear one of his messages. And while he was there, as the sermon wrapped up, he went up to George Mueller and said, "Hey, can I have a word with you?" And as they went off to the side, he could not get a word out because he was crying the whole time. He was so moved. And by the time he was able to speak, he said, "That was the greatest sermon I have ever heard." And what made it great was not Mueller's eloquence. It wasn't his illustrations. It wasn't the fact that he said the scriptures in a certain kind of way. It's that his love for Jesus overflowed into his sermon. He made a life his sermon, and the sermon that he presented in front of his congregation was a sermon he was living out while he was not in the pulpit. And I think that is a challenge for us today. What kind of life are you living? Are you living a life that could be presented as a sermon? Are you living a life that would spill over when you talk to people about your love for Jesus? Is it evident? Is it clear? Is it known that you love him? It was with George Mueller. Is it clear with you? Do people see that in your life? So, if you aren't moved the slightest today to care for the orphan, to care for the widow, my prayer is that you would ask God today. You would tell him, "God, give me a heart to care for him. Help me get my heart from being stagnant and stuck to actually wanting the things you want." Even if it's a small step, even if it's just sending money to an organization that cares for orphans, God, help me to take that step and help me to not be stuck where I am. We need his help. We need his heart. And if we're going to move, we need him to help us so we might defend and care for the orphan. The second thing I want you to see this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 14. Go there with me. Deuteronomy 14. And we're going to start there, and then we're also going to jump to the book of Proverbs. Deuteronomy 14, verse 29. It says this. It says, "And the Levite, because he has no portion of inheritance with you, and the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are within your towns, shall come and eat and be filled, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work that your hands do." Now, what I want you to see here is that it's God's heart to meet the orphan's physical needs. It's God's heart for us to meet the orphan's physical needs. And we see this in the text. We see that the Lord had called Israel to provide for the poor. And what he did, how he organized it for the people, is that they would save over 3 years, they would save for the poor. And they would have this fund stored up that the people of Israel would then give generously to all those who had need, whether it was the Levite, the widow, or the orphan. And notice here that it says, they shall come and eat and be what? Filled. Not just a bit, not just a little bit, not a snack, but they would be full. That they would give in that kind of way. And the Lord would bless you in all the work that your hands do. The Lord wants us to give and not just give a little, but give generously. I would go as far to say, as we do sometimes, go to give sacrificially, where it's actually a little bit of a strain on us to give. And Israel was called to do that. And notice, this giving comes with a promise. It says, "May the Lord bless you in all the work of your hands," meaning God remembers. He takes an account of your work. He takes an account of your giving. He remembers that. And he also blesses you. He blessed Israel. And guess what? He'll bless you. When you give, there will be a blessing in store. Now, how God figures that out and blesses you, that's up to him. But know that God keeps an account and he remembers and he blesses you for your giving. Now, I said we're also going to look at a different scripture as well. So, Proverbs 28:27. Proverbs 8:28 28:27 says this. Whoever gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse. Again, the Lord here is saying he keeps an account. He sees it, and he gives a blessing for obedience. And the promise here is that those who give to the poor, which includes the orphan, is that he will help their heart not selfishly want for themselves. That you won't want selfishly. And I notice the contrast of that as you read on. In verse 27, that second half says, but he who hides his eyes will get what? They'll get a curse. Meaning, if you turn your eyes away from the poor, you will get a curse upon your heart that you will not desire to help serve those who are poor. Instead, you'll turn over here, kind of like you have blinders on, and you'll continue to walk apart from the orphan. You won't want to serve them. You won't want to go back to them. You are training your heart by the things that you do. And he's saying, but if you bless them, you'll be training your heart to actually want to give, and there will be a blessing for that. There will be a blessing for that. Avoiding to serve the orphan is neglecting what the Lord desires. But let me take it a step further. It's not just neglecting what he desires, but Jesus says it's neglecting him. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says to some of them that when you do not give to the poor, you are neglecting me. You're neglecting me. Like, maybe we don't like the person we saw over here. Maybe there was something about them. But Jesus says, no, you're not just neglecting that person. You're avoiding him. You're not serving him. And he says, when you've done unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. You've done it unto me. So if you're not going to do it for the sake of the person that's hurting, do it for the Lord. Do it for the Lord. We're all guilty of this. We make excuses for ourselves. We see that person, and we have the means, and yet we say, no. And we move our own way. We do our own thing. But here is my challenge for you. Maybe you need to put aside some of your reservations. Maybe when it comes to caring for the poor and specifically caring for the orphan, maybe you need to say, even if that hurts me and that's hard to do that, maybe you just need to put aside that and say, Jesus came to hurt for those who are weak, and I want to do likewise. If it hurt Jesus to come down from heaven to earth to serve us, ought we not to go through some hurt in serving others? There's this cookie-cutter mentality we live in where everything has to be nice and neat. And if things are not the way we want it, we get up and complain about it. And that's not the heart of God. The scriptures say we ought to be slow to speak. Love is holding no record of wrongs. And there's some times where we're going to need to hurt, where we're going to need to say, man, I'm being selfish. I need to give that to God before I complain to somebody. And in serving the orphan, there's going to be some stuff, in fact, the whole time, really, that you're not going to get back anything that's maybe celebrated or praised. And yet, the King above all kings sees all of it and will reward us. This is the heart of God. It's a question for you. Has God nudged you to care for the orphan? Has he prompted your heart to think about them? If he's done that, and if you've pushed down those thoughts, if you've avoided caring for the orphan, and yet that thought keeps coming back time and time again. What's happening there is the Holy Spirit is trying to get you to focus. He's trying to change your heart. He's trying to help you see what he sees. So don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't push him aside. But listen and be moved and know that you can give and show that God's family, though they may not have a family who loves them at all, that God's family loves them, and that all can be adopted into the spiritual family of God. So God is wanting to move us to give to the orphan. Third thing I want you to see is that it's God's heart to share him, is to share about him to the orphan. Psalm 68:5 says this, Father of the fatherless and protector of the widow is God in his holy habitation. This is probably one of my favorite verses I've studied this whole week in preparing for this Sunday sermon. If you were to read Psalm 68, you would see that God is being praised for his might and his rule over all things, and in particular over Israel. He has ruled, he has provided for them, and in the church, now we know as the believers, as the body of Christ, he rules and reigns over us. And the end of Psalm 68 points to this victory that Jesus will have over Satan and all those who follow him. And so Christ is victorious. He is good. And in this text, it says he is a father to the fatherless. Think about that. In all of this, you're seeing a display of power and might over the universe. And yet, he doesn't neglect the orphan. He doesn't disregard the widow. He is attuned to the weak. He is seeing and knowing all that goes on. And he doesn't want us to overlook this either. And here's where God wants us to step in. If a God who is all-powerful, knows all things, can love and see the orphan hurting, how much more should we, who are amongst them, who know people that are without father and mother? By going, we can go to an orphanage, and we can share Jesus. You can find local orphanages that will be open to that. You can also give financially to help care. You can seek out foster care. And you get a chance, you get a time, you get a season to care and raise kids up in Christ. Or maybe today God has put adoption on your heart, and he wants you to take that step to adopt a child into your family so they would know Jesus and be a part of the family of God. Psalm 78:4 reminds us, we will not hide them from our children, but to tell of the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. You know what this text is saying? It's saying that our children need to see and hear of who God is. And they need to see Jesus in us. And the same is true with the adopted. They need to see and hear Jesus in the lives of adults. They need to see and hear Jesus, not just on a Sunday morning, but in our life, outside of the church. We need to raise them in the Lord. And if God puts on your heart the desire for adoption or foster care, this is a chance for them to see and hear from you all the glorious deeds of the Lord. And then we get to point them to the fact that we are also adopted into the family of God. Romans 8:14-17 says, for all who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. And I love this reminder. God reminds us that he is a highly relational, highly familial God, that he is known as our Father. He is our Father who wants to adopt us into his family through Jesus. That none of us are any different, and we're no different than the orphan, spiritually speaking. That we all need to be adopted into the family of God through the work of Christ by believing in Jesus and his work on the cross on our behalf. They're spiritually no different, and they need to hear about the good news of Jesus as well. Now, as far as what we can do today, I want to give us 5 ideas for taking a step into caring for the orphan. First is this. You can, as I've mentioned before, give financially. You can give financially. Molly and I have done this for a number of years with Compassion International. And I was looking this past week on their page. They have a spot where you can give to an orphan, someone who is lost one or both parents. For as little as $43 a month, you can help support a child. And this is different than driving down the road to go visit them. But you get to write letters, you get to see them grow, you get to see pictures of them, and you get to check in with them to see how they're doing as they grow older. You can care for them in this way. Another option I would recommend is giving to families who are in the process of adoption. Right now, we are working with an organization called Both Hands, and Both Hands is helping us raise the $49,000 we need to bring a child home from India. And there's scores of other children that or other families that are trying to bring an adopted child home, and you can give to them. You can help support them. So giving financially is one option. The second thing you can do is this. You can literally go visit them. Just like the book of James says, we should be visiting the orphan. So you can literally go visit them. When I was in Houston, I was a part of a church that would go to a children's center. And what we would do about once or twice a month is we would go and play sports, we would draw with them, and some of us would help them with their tutoring after school. And this is one way you can show that God cares for the orphan, is to go visit them. Third is to come alongside and supporting a family who is adopting. Now, many of you are doing that with my family as we seek to bring our child home. Several of you guys have written letters and sent it out to your friends and family asking that they would donate to our family because it's not a cheap thing. It takes a lot to bring a child home. And we can't thank you enough. There's so many who have given in this way. And whenever it comes to bring our adopted child home, whether boy or girl, God will make that known to us. We know we have a church home that will pray for, that will love, and that will learn alongside us as we raise a child in the Lord. And in the learning process, one of the things that I can't recommend enough is to read books and to listen to podcasts and learn about how unique and yet beautiful discipling an adopted child is. One book I would recommend to you is Adopted for Life by Russell Moore. If you get a chance, pick up this book, order this on Amazon, put it on your wish list for Christmas, and read about what it looks like to adopt a child. We as Great Commission believers know that we are called to the nations to share the gospel. And God's heart, as a part of the Great Commission, is to share the gospel with the orphan. And in adoption, in foster care, in giving financially, you're a part of Great Commission ministry by loving and caring for the orphan. And Russell Moore highlights that in his book, that this is not just simply a good deed, but this is near to God's heart, and it's a part of being gospel-centered people. One of the things that he distinguishes is the uniqueness of adopting a child of a different racial and cultural background than the family that's adopting a child. There's going to be some differences. There's going to be some questions Molly and I get in the grocery store. If we're near an Indian family, they're going to think that that's their kid. And then when, whoop, oh, they're going with this other child. What's going? And there's things that people will say. And so one of the things I think is so, so helpful is to familiarize ourselves with what that looks like, to put ourselves in the shoes, because we're not there yet, and we want to learn. We're going to grow. But Russell Moore makes it really, really helpful to see the kind of language and just the philosophy of adopting a child, how that's beautiful, and how that's also a redemptive act of God, who's after all nations and all peoples. So you can help support a family who's adopting. Fourth thing is to become a foster family. When children are in the foster care system, many of them are put with foster families, foster care families, temporarily. And for that time, Christ can be made known to them. So maybe you're not at the place where you're like, man, I don't know if we can receive a child into our home indefinitely, but I think we could do foster care. I think we could have a foster child in our home for a time. And you could love them, support them, and show them that all of us need spiritual adoption in Jesus Christ. One organization I would recommend is Texas Baptist Home. Texas Baptist Home. A couple of years back, Morgan and I got to take our students and our children's ministry to go serve them and to help them and hear a little bit about their history. And what they're after is to help families. They're help to help care for children and families, to offer them stability, to help them. Because these are rocky times. I mean, think about a kid that doesn't know if they're going to stay in their home they're living in or go live with somebody else. This organization helps show them stability. But not only that, they help them discover self-worth, where kids are looking at themselves and saying, man, am I not worthy to be kept by my parents? Am I not worthy of love? This organization helps them show that they are worthy of that. They are valued. And not only that, but TBHC helps them find true healing in Christ. That's where the ultimate healing is found. So tbhc.org, if you're interested in foster care, you can learn more by going there. Fifth and final thing I want to recommend is to adopt a child into your family. Today, God may be calling you to adopt a child. According to the Christian Alliance for Orphans, the most recent study showed that there are 391,000 orphans in the United States alone. That's 391,000 children without someone to call mom or dad. 391,000 children to have no one share a bedtime story with them at night. 391,000 children not knowing the love of Jesus. Globally, according to allforone.org, there's 153 million children. That's a whole country. 153 million children. No mom or dad. No one to read them bedtime stories. No one to tell them about Jesus. And we've got a crisis on our hands. So what are we doing today? God's heart is after caring and defending and giving and supporting and telling them about Jesus. He's after that for the orphan. What are we doing today with the finances we've been given, with the knowledge of Christ we know? What are we doing to take a step to care for the orphan? If God has called you to care for the orphan, come find me, come find Molly. We're working with an organization called AWAA. We're adopting through them. America World is what it stands for. And we've been on this journey almost all of this year. And what I didn't mention earlier was that one incredible thing that God put on our heart, and I'm not even making this up, is when we knew we needed to pray and take a step of obedience, God, in the way that only He can do it, put the word India on both Molly and my heart. And we had no clue that the nation with the most orphans in the whole world is India. There's 31 million in India. In China, there's 20 million. In Nigeria, there's 12 million. That's huge. And you can make a big impact for the kingdom of God and to love the orphans by taking a step today. As we enter into this time of response, I want to point us again to the heart of God. James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God is to visit the orphan and the widow. But we will not have that heart to visit the orphan and the widow until we surrender to Jesus. So today, if you have never surrendered to Jesus, I want to give you a chance to know who He is. Jesus lived a perfect life for you that you could not. He died a death on the cross to pay for your sins. And He rose victoriously from the grave, conquering sin, conquering death, so that you might know Him. You might receive His heart. You might be transformed by His Spirit. And you might take action steps to be more like Him, which includes loving the orphan. So today, if you have never done that, we'll have a few ministers down front who would love to pray with you. If you're watching online, you can text the word Lakeland to the number at the bottom of the screen, and we'll reach out with you to talk to you about how to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But there's a second group in here I want to give you a response to. If you here today know that God has prompted your heart, He's causing you to consider how to love the orphan, come pray with us. Maybe you feel like you're on the fence about all this. Whether it's your season of life, financial situation, whatever it might be, know this, God provides more than you can. He does more than you can ever do. And if you trust Him, He'll make your path straight. He'll make it clear. And He'll help you know exactly what you're called to do. So come pray with us down front. Last thing I'll say is this. In the words of Russell Moore, and yet there are more children out there who need godly parents. God, we love You. We thank You for moving and speaking through Your word today. God, I pray You would convict hearts in this room. You would help us to be more like You. We know our time is short. So God, help us not waste it. Move us, God. Move us to take a step. Move us to do something so that we would have Your heart. We would honor You. So Holy Spirit, work in a way that only You can today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can stand.
Crown Him with many crowns.
thank you all for being here this morning. We love you guys. We care for y'all. Would y'all please be seated, and I'll turn things over to Ross as he closes us out today.
Excuse me. Well, it's good to see you this morning. If there's things that we can pray with you this week, decisions that you've made, things you just didn't have a chance to come forward and talk to us about it, we'd love to know that. And there's an easy way to let us know. Just text Lakeland to the number on the screen, and we'll receive those texts and follow up with you. If you're a guest that's been here this morning, again, we're grateful that you chose to worship with us. There's a connect card in the chair back in front of you. If you'd fill that out, take it out to the welcome desk at the end of the service. We're at the end of the service. After I pray to dismiss us, then we'd love to exchange that.